All right, welcome to the Young Turks. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. We have got an amazing show for you all. It's going to be gigantic. We've got obviously a lot of news still coming in from the Trump disaster, including a fun story about how he's pouting in the White House, and the child is running amok, and they're trying to contain him. That's in the second segment. You'll love that story. And then what is the latest on the possible co-conspirators? Most importantly, I think Carter Page. He's the guy I've been telling you from day one is the most likely to be relevant here as far as connections between Trump and Russia. And he was on TV admitting things he should not be admitting. So that is very important. We'll get to that a little bit later. And then John Kelly goes on there, and this is supposed to be the adult in the White House and defends the South in the Civil War. And I'm going to show you how wrong it is. I don't want you to miss that story, because I have to be honest with you that I got educated on some of the parts of the Civil War I didn't know today. And some of those facts are amazing and will get you to rethink how you view some of the players involved in the Civil War. So that's all coming up later in the program. I'm going to start with a little bit of fun and disaster in a second. But first, I want to tell you something that's really important. On Thursday here at the Young Turks, we're going to be announcing a new candidate in the California Senate race. The current senator there is Dianne Feinstein. She's running for re-election. She has been in the Senate for 25 years, and she is, there's no other way to describe it, conservative. She voted for Bush's tax cuts. She voted for Bush's Iraq war. She voted for Bush's warrantless wiretapping. There's barely anything she's liberal on. She is against Medicare for all. She's against college for all. She says she might reconsider it later. She is ancient. I don't know when in the world she's going to reconsider it. On her 18th run for the Senate, she is a terrible candidate, a conservative candidate that is intolerable for California. We have an exclusive on Thursday. The Young Turks will announce who the Just Democratic candidate is. And that candidate will defeat Dianne Feinstein. We're not the Young Turks, you're the Young Turks. We're going to do this together. It is going to be amazing. And so I need you to get ready for the battle of a lifetime. We're going to come 100 miles an hour, the Justice Democrats are. And yes, we will defeat Feinstein. And we will finally have a progressive that is representing the great state of California. If we're one of the most progressive states in the country, we should act like it and have a strong and proud progressive as our senator. So on Thursday, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Young Turks, we will announce who that candidate is. It is someone loosely in the TYT universe. Some of you might have seen this person on air before, and I think that you're going to love this candidate. So can't wait. Show up 6 o'clock on Thursday, we'll tell you who it is, and the battle begins. So exciting times, guys, exciting times. Time for the establishment to go down and for progressives to begin to reign. All right, now let's go and let's do the rest of the show. Okay, we're going to start on a light note here before we go to disaster. So the Republican senators got together. They want to talk about faith. They're doing a press conference, but it's on Monday. So everybody's going to want to ask about Manafort. Chuck Grassley is one of the Republican senators here who is involved. And he had put out a statement, and it was an interesting statement before this press conference, saying that he's glad that prosecutors are finally looking into the Foreign Agent Act and Registration Act, and how important it is, and how it is a nonpartisan issue. They should look into Republicans and Democrats, and he's absolutely right about that. And it looks like Mueller is looking into Republicans and Democrats. Tony Podesta, well-known Democratic lobbyist, resigned yesterday, and obviously Manafort and Gates have been arrested from the Trump team, and same with Papadopoulos. So the reporters are going to want to ask about that, but Grassley is not going to want to answer it. So you're going to be seeing John Cornyn on the stage here, and as he's talking, they will ask about Manafort the second time. First, you'll see in the beginning of the clip, they ask about it the first time. The second time they ask about it, the person you'll see trying to sneak out of the room is Chuck Grassley. You'll see the side of his head as he bumps into everything in the world before immediately exiting stage, I suppose, right. Let's watch.
Anybody have any questions for Senator Grassley or anybody else up here on this topic?
I have a question about a different Catholic named Paul Manafort. If you'll take
A former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, was indicted today, and
that really isn't our job. That's not our wheelhouse.
But
that's
my question
that's
my
the
question
special. No, if you'll give me, if you all would just hold on just a second.
That was awesome. Okay, it's not the world's biggest deal, but I gotta get out of here and bumping into things. They're kicking me out. Well, that would be Jeb Bush. In his case, they were not kicking him out. They just asked about Manafort one too many times, and Grassley had to get the hell out of there. Even the other Republican senators like Cruz are like, and that is almost literally running for the Hill. Okay, fun times. You might want to answer a question or two. You know you're supposed to be our representatives. Okay. I told you a fun little story. Let's move to serious stuff. Okay. New reports out about carbon dioxide and unfortunately methane as well, and none of them are good. And this infects all of us and affects the whole health of the planet. So let me start with the bad news. We'll go to The Guardian here. The concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere increased at record speed last year to hit a level not seen for more than 3 million years, the United Nations warned. Globally, average concentrations of carbon dioxide reached 403.3 parts per million in 2016, up from 400 parts per million in 2015 because of a combination of human activities and a strong El Nino event. So it's not just climate change, but El Nino. But now the El Nino affects us more because of climate change. We have created, unfortunately, a vicious circle. And they explain, as the planet warms, El Ninos are expected to become more frequent. So it's a devastating 1-2 punch. Let's talk more about the details and how devastating this is. The increase of 3.3 parts per million is considerably higher than both the 2.3 parts per million rise of the previous 12 months and the average annual increase over the past decade of 2.08 ppm. It also is well above the previous big El Nino year of 1998, when the rise was 2.7 parts per million. So everything is getting worse. Even when huge El Nino events are taken into account, it's still worse. And when you combine El Nino and climate change, carbon dioxide is at astronomical levels. The study, which uses monitoring of ships, aircraft, and stations on the land to track emissions trends since 1750, said carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is now increasing 100 times faster than at the end of the last ice age due to population growth, intensive agriculture, deforestation, and industrialization. So there are more bogeys out there. It's not just climate change, it's also the fact that we're doing things like deforestation. So then there are less plants, less trees to help us with the process, which they normally would. But now that's not working anymore and there's less trees. So it's a triple punch, a quadruple punch. That is why it is literally record shattering. They explained that the last time Earth experienced similar carbon dioxide concentration rates was during the Pliocene era, 3 to 5 million years ago, when the sea level was up to 20 meters higher than now. That is approximately 20 yards higher than it is today. So almost all of our coastal cities would be gone. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, but as we've seen this year, and in that legendary Mark Twain quote, change happens really gradually and then all of a sudden. So this year we began to see all of a sudden, as we got hit by hurricane after hurricane, drought after drought, fire after fire, and now carbon levels higher than they have been in 3 million years, which led to gigantic water levels earlier, and it is now increasing, as they explained, 100 times faster than it was at the end of the last ice age, because it is not natural. It is man-made, and we are intensifying all the problems. Just when you thought that was bad enough, then I got a report about methane, separate report. The WMO's report also points to a mysterious rise in the level of methane in the atmosphere, which were also higher than the 10-year average. Let's pause here. This is from Engadget. The earlier story was from The Guardian. So We know that methane is going to get released when the ice sheets melt, because there's a lot of methane trapped there. And methane is actually worse than carbon, so for greenhouse purposes. So once the methane gets released, there's no way of bringing it back into the ice. But things are worse than the scientists imagined. And I've told you this so many times, scientists are by their nature conservative. Not politically conservative, but scientifically conservative. They don't want to make wild assumptions. They tell you only what they know, and their estimates are on the conservative side, the cautious side. So we are going above their estimates, as you would normally predict if you were looking at cautious scientific estimates. And now the methane, they're not even sure where that's coming from. It isn't necessarily even from the ice sheet. So they say, here's one of the scientists saying, we do not understand. It's a professor that's an expert on this issue. We do not understand why methane is rising. It is very worrying. And then another expert says, future generations will inherit a much more inhospitable planet. And that is the WMO Secretary General. So with a combination of carbon levels like we've never seen before, and a mysterious methane increase, let alone the methane increase that is unfortunately headed in our direction with more global warming, that is a certainty. We are literally in a world of trouble. We have to turn around, and we have to turn around right away. So the greed of today with the fossil fuel industry that controls American politicians and commands them to keep destroying the planet for their short-term profits is literally a disaster in the making. It's happening right in front of us. We're in the middle of a disaster movie, and unfortunately, politicians in America can't see it or don't want to see it, or more accurately, are paid not to see it. We got to get them out, and we got to fix this immediately. Once the methane is released from the ice, I don't know that we can turn this clock back. It's the whole planet. If you're sensing a sense of urgency from me, you are right. This is the thing you should be worried about, not powerless immigrants crossing the border with no money and no power and almost no threat to you. This is the threat. We all have to act together, and we have to do it immediately. If not, I'd say God help us all, but I don't really know who's going to help us. We don't help ourselves and fix this. This does not end well. Okay, I got to take a break here. When we come back, I'll give you the latest news that's unfortunately domestic politics of Donald Trump. Fortunate in the sense that he's in a world of trouble, and getting him out immediately would be wonderful, because he's on the issue of climate change and all the others, a direct threat to the planet. We'll see if we can do that, and I'll give you the latest so that you can judge for yourself. We'll be right back. All right, back on AOC, no time for tweets today. It's a crazy hectic day as I arrange papers. Okay, I got a lot of stories for you guys. This is the one that some folks are talking about. It's not directly related to Trump, but the next one I'm gonna do is super important, and I learned a lot today, and that's my favorite part of the show, when I learn something and I can convey that to you. So let's go ahead and do it over here, okay? So General John Kelly is the chief of staff for Donald Trump, and he's supposed to be the adult in the room, the reasonable voice. He went on television to defend Trump, obviously, as all this indictments are coming down for Manafort and Gates and former Trump campaign workers, including Manafort, the campaign chairman. Now, obviously, Papadopoulos is even some ways worse news. Was a foreign policy advisor to Trump. So he goes on Fox to defend Donald Trump, but then the Fox hosts, of course, can't help themselves. So in this case, they're going to ask him about the Civil War. Isn't it terrible that they're taking down the monuments to the beloved Confederate generals? And there was two plaques honoring Robert E. Lee, and in this case also President Washington, taking down Alexandria, Virginia. That is what he's responding to. Listen to what he says, and then I'm going to show you how terribly wrong he is. Let's watch.
I would tell you that Robert E. Lee was an honorable man. He was a man that gave up his country to fight for his state, which in 150 years ago was more important than country. It was always loyalty to state first back in those days. Now it's different today. But the lack of an ability to compromise led to the Civil War. And men and women of good faith on both sides made their stand where their conscience had them make their stand.
So he's wrong on three gigantic counts there. On the issue of Robert E. Lee being an honorable man, hold. Wait till you'll find out what he actually did. And some of this I did not know. And it is amazing. The historical context, he says, is important. Now, historical context, we all admit, is important. But I'm going to give some context on top of context on that, and then were there compromises? So I want to give a world of credit here to Ta-Nehisi Coates, who tweeted about this, and some of the stuff I knew, some of it I frankly, like I said, I didn't know, and I want to thank him for educating me as well as you guys on some of this history. So let's get to it. First on the compromise, Coates points out, I mean, like it's called the Three-Fifths Compromise for a reason, but it doesn't stand alone. Missouri Compromise, the Kansas-Nebraska Act. Now, this is stuff that I think a lot of us did know. And when I watched the clip, it made my blood boil saying that there was no compromise. We said that African Americans were three-fifths of a human being in the Constitution. Why did we do that? The North didn't want to do that. The South wanted to say they weren't human at all, but they wanted to be able to count their bodies for votes. Not to actually let them vote, but so that they could have greater representation in the Senate. And there was a compromise on that. We compromised on whether they were human. And then you're going to tell us there was no compromise with the South. It's insanity, totally counterfactual, let alone the Missouri Compromise, etc. Now, I also, and I think a lot of folks know about Lincoln offering compromise after compromise, but you might not know all the details. Lincoln's own platform was a compromise, as Coates points out. Lincoln was not an abolitionist. He proposed to limit slavery's expansion, not end it. But of course, the South did not accept that compromise, and it wound up being war, not because the North chose it, but because the South chose it. They refused every compromise Lincoln gave them, and to some degree, I'm thankful for it. Because the time for compromise was over. Time after time, they gave in to the South to allow them to keep human beings as slaves. So I'm glad that they were unreasonable, and we finally ended the scourge of slavery. Now, more on the Lincoln issue. During the Civil War, Lincoln repeatedly sought to compromise by paying reparations, not to the slaves, but to the slaveholders, and shipping blacks out of the country. Now, you want to talk about the historical context of Lincoln. That is a fair point. Now, these compromises in today's world seem horrific. To say that, oh, look, we'll give you money for your slaves. Sorry that we have to take your property away, even though they're human beings, and we'll get rid of them for you guys. The North promised that compromise. Thank God the South didn't accept. Okay, and yes, I know the Civil War was terrible and bloody. But again, the North didn't choose that. African Americans didn't choose that. For most of the states, they were actually predominantly African American. They didn't choose that. The South chose it. They chose war. Okay, Coates continues, the spirit of quote unquote compromise continued. Lincoln asked only 10% of voters in rebel states to sign a loyalty oath for readmission to the Union. Look, I'm more in the camp of unconditional surrender. And we in the North beat the South and the Confederacy. The Confederacy was literally a group of traitors who committed treason against the United States of America. They chose to break apart the United States of America. Asking for 10% of them to give us a loyalty oath was way too small. These compromises were outrageous, but offered over and over again. And what do they do on Fox News? And what does the quote unquote adult in the room in the Trump White House do? And what did I tell you? Look, John Kelly might not be insane like Donald Trump. And yes, he might be a little bit more under control, and he's not a petulant child, but he's not a good guy. They're all right wingers in the Trump White House. Now he comes on TV and goes, oh, yeah, oh, there wasn't enough compromise. Oh, the poor South. The North didn't compromise enough. Compromise continued long after Lincoln's death. The Compromise of 1877 led to explicit white supremacist rule in the South for a century. And yes, in that case, it was, no matter what you want to take, which side you want to take in the debate of today, was that white supremacy when they would light crosses on fire in African American neighbors' front lawns, when they would lynch African Americans, when they had separate facilities for African Americans, and that were way inferior for 100 years? Of course that was literally white supremacy. And even that compromise is not enough for Fox News. No, they wanted the North to compromise more with the white supremacists. That is literal. Okay. And in the case of historical context, here Coates makes a point that is great. And again, I have to confess that I didn't even think about it in this context. And I'm asking you to open your mind for a second. Because when you see new facts, you can't go into your own shelters and no, I don't want to see it if I'm a right wing or left wing or whatever it might be. Now, I just talked about historical context in the case of Lincoln. And yes, in the case of the Founding Fathers, it was complicated. And Washington refused to be king. He believed in democracy, and that was wonderful. But yes, he held slaves, and that was terrible. And I could go on and on. But when John Kelly talks about the historical context of why the slaveholders held slaves, what he discounts completely, as Coates points out, is the actual slaves, the human beings who were also in those states. When he says, oh, well, they didn't know at the time it was so bad, we're judging them on our standards, but at that time, those standards were not that bad. And Coates rightfully asks, for who? For who that were they not that bad? In one of the tweets, he said, the majority of people living in Mississippi in 1860 were black. They knew in their time that enslavement was wrong. If you'd polled the state of Mississippi, the majority would have said slavery is a terrible abomination. But they didn't poll people, and they didn't ask them. They didn't even consider them people. But yes, in that historical context, the North knew, the abolitionists knew, the African Americans knew. The only people who didn't know are the ones that now Fox News and John Kelly are desperately trying to defend, the vicious racists of the Confederacy. Which brings us to the revered Robert E. Lee. Everybody talks of him in glowing terms. What a gentleman he was. Well, I mean, he had to go to war because, I mean, his state did. And then back then, the state was more important than the country. No, it wasn't. We had a whole war because the states were not more important than the country. The country you're talking about is the United States of America, the one that you are now chief of staff to the president to. So please have a little bit of respect for America. And now all of a sudden, in your revisionist history, no, Virginia was more important. The states were more important. And he was a gentleman anyway. That's always a talking point that they put out there. Now, here are more things I didn't know about Robert E. Lee. Turns out, when you look at the experts and what they wrote, first of all, Robert E. Lee inherited some of the slaves that he kept. And in case you were wondering, people say, oh, yeah, I don't know that Robert E. Lee was even for slavery. He just had to do it because he was from Virginia. No, not only did he have slaves, he inherited slaves, but in reality, he didn't. The will said that they should be free, but he fought it to make sure that they were in chains. Later, the courts actually ruled against them and set his slaves free. But no, he wanted to hold on to them for as long as possible. They weren't even his slaves. He was lying about it in the first place. He didn't detest slavery, he loved slavery. So in fact, he was apparently vicious to his slaves, which gives us this account. When two of his slaves escaped and were recaptured, Lee either beat them himself or ordered the overseer to, quote, lay it on well. Wesley Norris, one of the slaves who was whipped, recalled that, quote, not satisfied with simply lacerating our naked flesh, General Lee then ordered the overseer to thoroughly wash our backs with brine, which was done. He was a slaveholder, a torturer, and a vicious racist. That's who Robert E. Lee was. I don't want any statues of him in our country. Our country is the United States of America. If you don't like it, leave. I know that's what you tried to do during the Confederacy. Fox News, get out. Go. You want to do another rebellion? You want to do treason again? You want to go protect the white supremacy? Go do it in another country, because we already defeated you. America beat you once, we'll beat you again, and apparently you guys have no idea what America means. By the way, again, the reluctant warrior of General Lee, he goes to the North because he's defending his home. Wait a minute. First of all, he didn't just defend Virginia, he went to the north. And fine, you say that's in the middle of a war. But what did he do there? During his invasion of Pennsylvania, Lee's Army of Northern Virginia enslaved free blacks and brought them back to the South as property. What happened? I thought he didn't, you know, he didn't mind, he didn't care that much about slavery. It's not like he was trying to protect slavery. No, he went and took free men and turned them into slaves because he loved slavery. Because like everyone else in the Confederacy, he was a vicious racist. So don't come here now and do revisionist history on us. So last part is from a Mississippi senator back in 1858. Because I've been all over the South, I've seen the bumper stickers, I've seen the shirts. It was, oh, the Northerners don't understand, the Yankees don't understand history. It was about states' rights. States' rights to what? For slaves. And all of the Confederate leaders said it was because of slavery. But I wanted you to quote you this senator from Mississippi, because he did an impassioned speech where he said that we should actually invade other countries in Central America and other places. Why? To spread slavery to them. And here's one of the quotes. He said, yes, I want these countries for the spread of slavery. I would spread the blessings of slavery like the religion of our divine master to the uttermost ends of the earth. And rebellious and wicked as the Yankees have been, I would even extend it to them. I am so glad we beat these sons of bitches. I'm so glad that we crushed them. If you want to call it a war of northern aggression, then God bless northern aggression. Thank God we put America back together again and defeated these racist, white supremacists, slaveholders, and the people who would go and die and kill to keep other human beings as slaves. So don't come on television now and do pretend that they were good guys and honorable gentlemen and we don't understand history. You either don't understand history yourself, or you're perfectly fine with that history and you still want to defend it to this day. If you don't believe in America, step down as chief of staff, because you don't understand and appreciate the history of this country and what it's supposed to stand for. And that's the reality. I hope I was clear enough on that. So let's move on. Okay. So, now Fox News has been ridiculous in their coverage of the Trump-Russia investigations. Robert Mueller, the special counsel, announced on Monday that Paul Manafort, the former campaign chairman for Trump, has been arrested and he was surrendered to authorities. His longtime aide and co-conspirator, apparently, Rick Gates, also arrested, also surrendered to authorities, under house arrest now, both of them. George Papadopoulos, another foreign policy advisor to the president during the campaign, also arrested. He has pled guilty, is now cooperating. Now, in the beginning, in the morning, Fox didn't want to cover that news. Instead, they did silly coverage of emoji cheeseburgers. Yes, believe it or not, we showed that to you yesterday. And it was deeply embarrassing. Then, they got getting their talking points from Donald Trump's Twitter account, they decided to counterattack against Robert Mueller. He was picked in a nonpartisan fashion, and both sides of the aisle in the Senate and in Congress, oftentimes, the great majority of the time is that Robert Mueller is not partisan and he is to be respected. But not on Fox News, because they're partisan, so they're going to attack Robert Mueller, and they started doing that later in the day. Now, I'm going to show you some of that in a second, but it turns out we were not the only people outraged. Fox News on-air personalities and other staffers apparently reached out to their colleagues at CNN and told them about how horrified they were at their own network's coverage. I have mixed feelings about that, but first let me report it for you what happened. They texted to and reached out to, like I said, the reporter at CNN, and one on-air personality at Fox said, quote, I'm watching now and screaming. Went on to say, I want to quit, which I have a good question for you, which is, why don't you? They're not a real news organization. Just because they say it's Fox News doesn't make it so. I'm both happy to see that there are some human beings with a conscience inside Fox News, but I'm also amused to see that they are discovering that Fox News is propaganda. Wow. There's gambling in this establishment. I would have never guessed. A senior Fox News employee reported there were many eye rolls in the newsroom over how the news was covered. Apparently not enough eye rolls to stop the coverage. And again, the same employee says, it's another blow to journalists at Fox who come in every day wanting to cover the news in a fair and objective way. And who exactly are those folks? So you didn't get the memo that Fox News was conservative when they attacked Obama on almost every single issue, including how he ate his hamburger, that he ate it with mustard. You didn't get the memo when they did nonstop Benghazi coverage after 9 different Republican committees said that he hadn't done anything wrong. You didn't get the memo when they attacked Obama for wearing a tan suit. You didn't get the memo when they attacked Obama for once not saluting soldiers properly. How many of those segments can they do on Donald Trump? But they don't do any of those. You're just finding out that Fox News is conservative propaganda? Oh, please, you wanted to take the paycheck, keep it real. So, and senior Fox News employee says, Fox feels like an extension of the Trump White House, to which I say, of course it does. That can't be news to you. If that's news to you, then you really are a terrible journalist. So just admit it. You like this prestige, you like the check, you want to keep working. You're happy to take it and pretend that everything was kosher. Now all of a sudden everybody else has turned on Trump. You're like, oh my God. Oh, it turns out that we're pro-Trump. Oh, golly gee, first time I realized it. CNN goes on to explain, Oliver Darcy writing the story. On Fox's News homepage, the lead story at one point was focused on Trump slamming the indictment. Of course it was. And another Fox story had this headline, Mueller's ridiculous claims, but it's okay, it's a question mark. They asked, is it ridiculous? I don't know, we're just asking. So the question mark, well documented by many folks, including Brave New Films and their great movie Outfoxed. Fox News has been doing this for decades, where they say outrageous things and then put a question mark at the end. Mueller's ridiculous claims? Okay, now I'll give you a snippet of their coverage from yesterday and then back to Fox employees who are horrified. Here we go.
This comes as Mueller faces growing questions over his credibility leading the probe and potential conflicts of interest. The New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin put this out. He said, any honest probe must examine the Obama White House and Justice Department. Mueller served as head of the FBI for more than 4 years under President Obama and cannot be expected to investigate his former colleagues and bosses. But without that necessary step, his work would be incomplete at best. So it's time for him to say bye-bye.
Yeah, his point is that he's compromised and he cannot conduct a fair and independent investigation.
Can't compromise, conflict of interest, real problem. You didn't think that they were going to do that at Fox? Of course they were going to do that. They were going to do it on Fox and Friends. They were going to do it on Outnumbered. They were going to do it in primetime with Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, and they did. Every one of them attacked Mueller at time after time, segment after segment. If I showed you all the clips, it would take all day. Back to the theoretically naive employees at Fox News. Fox News personality says, this kind of coverage does the viewer a huge disservice and further divides the country. Of course it does, that's the whole point. Fox News employee, that segment on Outnumbered, the one we showed you, questioning Mueller's integrity was absurd and deserves all the scorn it can get. No problem, I'm here to deliver. Yes, it does deserve scorn because it is disingenuous. Look, I told you this a couple of days ago when they started talking about Uranium One. I think Uranium One was a legitimate story 6 years ago. I think it was a legitimate story during the campaign, but Hillary Clinton is not the president. She's not relevant. The only reason they brought back the Uranium One story was so that they could say, oh, Mueller was the head of the FBI during that time, so he didn't investigate Clinton. No, you got to get rid of him, you got to get rid of him. And just as I told you it would happen, that's exactly what they're saying on Fox News, because they take their talking points from the White House and from the Republican National Committee, and they always have. This is not a new phenomenon. So as much as I welcome these folks inside Fox News being outraged, I also welcome them to walk out the door if they have any shred of credibility or would like to work in journalism again. But they don't care, and honestly, a lot of cable news hasn't cared. They've known this all along and they keep circulating. So Howard Kurtz was on CNN. I once predicted, and one of our viewers sent us the old video of me doing that. years and years ago saying that, hey, you know why he doesn't criticize Fox News? Because one day he'll work for Fox News, which is exactly what happened. The rest of the media has been covering for Fox News because a lot of them thought, and rightfully so, because a lot of them did later take a paycheck from Fox News. So yes, wakey wakey everybody, Fox News is conservative propaganda. Can't believe it's not theoretically news to these guys. Final two quotes for you guys. The person added that it was, quote, laughable seeing Hannity and Laura Ingraham, two Fox News opinion hosts who are openly supportive of Trump, quote, tripping over themselves, saying Mueller's team has found nothing thus far, as three people have been arrested. It's not exactly nothing. And finally, the Fox News employee talked to CNN, one of the employees that talked to CNN said, it's an embarrassment. Frankly, there are shows on our network that are backing the president at all costs, and it's that short-term strategy that undermines the good work being done by others. If they have such good work, I'd like to see it, because that would be news to me. When's the last Fox News investigation that was actually nonpartisan and uncovered something interesting that held the government in check, whether it was Democrats or Republicans? When's the last time cable news did any of that? No, this is all a charade. And if you don't realize that you're working for a propaganda outlet, and then you feign surprise now, please, please spare me. I'm glad to see that you have grown a conscious reach recently. But if that's the case, you might actually want to use it and stop working for these guys. Okay, now one more story for you in this segment, and it involves Trump and how sad he is over this news, over the Manafort news. Okay. So several reports out today that Donald Trump, as usual, furious over the news. And when is he ever not furious? So this time it's particularly deep-seated, and that is because several of his former colleagues have been arrested. Manafort and Gates, who worked on his campaign. Gates also continued to work at the White House. Manafort was his campaign chairman. Papadopoulos talking about how his campaign worked with the Russians and tried to coordinate with them, even tried to get a meeting with Putin, and Trump arranged at the campaign. So Trump seeing this is of course beside himself. So we have details of that that's reported. Washington Post talked to 20 different insiders. So a great report here on what actually happened on inside the White House yesterday. So they explained, separated from most of his West Wing staff, who fretted over why he was late getting to the Oval Office, Trump clicked on the television and spent the morning playing fuming media critic, legal analyst, and crisis communication strategist, according to several people close to him. Of course he did. That's all he ever does. He was late to work, and his work as president of the United States. He was late because he was watching TV. Every story about him is about how emotionally immature he is. I keep calling him a child, but it's getting to be insulting to children. All right, more details. The president digested the news of the first indictments in special counselor Robert Mueller's probe with exasperation and disgust. These people said he called his lawyers repeatedly, he listened intently to cable news commentary, and with rising irritation, he watched live footage of his one-time campaign advisor and confidant, Paul Manafort, turning himself into the FBI. And King Joffrey's anger grew and grew. Ty Cobb, his lawyer, put out, which is an awesome name by the way, put out a statement saying, what are we talking about? Everything's fine, everything's honky-dory. The statement read as such, this has not been a cause of great agita or angst or activity at the White House. Trump is spending all of his time on presidential work. Look, even if we didn't have the insider stories from Washington Post and CNN, no one believed that. Just spare yourself, you're embarrassing yourself. The idea that you'd come out and go, oh, Trump's not bothered by any of this. Why would Trump be bothered? No, he's having a big, beautiful day. It's a tremendous day. Doing a lot of presidential work, reading the one pagers that are sent to him with lots of pretty pictures. Now, what was the reality? But Trump's anger Monday was visible to those who interacted with him, and the mood in the quarters of the White House was one of weariness and fear of the unknown. Well, the unknown is both in terms of what indictments might come next and who might flip next, as Papadopoulos did, but also the unknown of when the child king is going to explode next. And the whole time, there, his lawyers are telling him, three different lawyers, telling him, whatever you do, don't tweet, okay? Don't say anything in public, it could get you in trouble. And he's like, I want to tweet. And they try to contain him the whole time. And then his lawyer goes out and says, well, there's no agita here, everything's fine. Come, who are you kidding? So that was Washington Post reporting. Let's go to CNN now. I'm sorry, one more. This is a senior Republican that Washington Post talked to. They say the walls are closing in, everyone is freaking out. What happened to no angst? Okay, now we go to CNN. They describe Trump's cantankerous mood. He's fine, another one from CNN. Though they acknowledge that attempts to rein in Trump's behavior often result in the president's entrenching himself in the very actions his advisors recommended against. So as his lawyers and advisors tell him, please, whatever you do, don't strike out at Mueller. Don't threaten to fire him. It'll look like obstruction of justice. Don't say that you might pardon someone. That's definitely obstruction of justice. Please don't use it. Oh yeah. This absolute buffoon is the commander in chief. And by the way, why do you think the man child is so angry? You think he's angry because he didn't do it? No, the walls are closing in. He knows what his advisors don't, that he actually did do it. So I'm going to get to that now. One more from Washington Post on his anger. Trump is also increasingly agitated by the expansion of Mueller's probe into financial issues beyond the 2016 campaign and about the potential damage to him and his family. That's what he's most upset about. What he knows is that he did do it. And by doing it, I don't mean just trying to get the Russians to send him hacked emails. To him, that's an appetizer. Mueller, keep digging. What he doesn't want you to hit is the mother load of his money laundering for the Russians that has been going on for a long, long time. Now, yes, I grant you that part is my speculation, and I've been saying it from day one, but I say it based on publicly available evidence. So now, that's not good enough to indict Trump. That's not good enough to impeach Trump. That's why you need a real prosecutor like Mueller to keep digging and see if he can find what those connections are. Look, I could restate for you all the different things that are already public, how Alpha Bank, the largest bank in Russia, is pinging Trump's servers in the middle of Pennsylvania, how the Russians bought about a third of Trump Tower when Trump was about to go bankrupt, and then the houses and the real estate Trump would buy and then flip over at outrageous prices to the Russians. Why? They're laundering the money. It's super obvious. But his own naive lawyers are like, well, maybe we should work with Mueller. And he's thinking, are you nuts? If I work with Mueller, he's going to find out what I actually did. That which brings us to these last two issues. There's a top advisor to and a friend of Trump named Thomas J. Barak Jr. And he has been shielding Rick Gates, one of the guys who just got arrested, for a long, long time. And some of the people inside the White House are angry at him. They're like, why did you continue to employ Gates and keep him at the White House past Manafort's time? You know, he could be potentially toxic because he was working with Manafort, and we already knew Manafort was in a lot of trouble. Because probably he knows something you knuckleheads don't know, which is that he's got to make sure that Gates is happy, otherwise Gates turns evidence against Trump. So this guy, Thomas Barak Jr., has been Gates' patron of late, as the Post explains, steering political work to him, and until Monday, employing him as director of the Washington office of his real estate investment company. Rick Gates works in politics. He doesn't know anything about real estate. One of Trump's top friends was paying Rick Gates until his arrest at a company that he had nothing to do with and no expertise. Gee, I wonder why they were doing that. Robert Mueller, keep digging. One last one for you guys. Cobb, that aforementioned White House lawyer, has been a leading voice inside the West Wing to urge cooperation with Mueller's investigation. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly has reinforced that argument inside the administration. Both have told Trump that providing Mueller with information, including potentially an interview with the president himself, would allow the investigation to reach a conclusion quicker. Please, please do that. I mean, is Trump egomaniacal enough to think that he could trick Mueller? Oh, I hope so. Please go and do an interview with Mueller. If Trump is on the record, if it's sworn testimony, do you have any idea how many times he'll lie? The over under is 20, and that's in a 5-minute conversation. Look, Trump lies pathologically, regularly, in any circumstance, let alone when he's under investigation and he's trying to evade justice. Oh, please let him talk to Mueller. And besides which, look, the lying is bad. The trying to get the stolen emails from the Russians is bad. And those are actionable. But what I really want to know is what the core deal with Trump and the Russians were. That's why I hope he talks to Mueller, and because it will help probably figure that part of the story out, which I think is the most important part. But what these folks like Cobb and Kelly don't know, because they are innocent, they're not involved apparently, is that Trump actually is guilty. So they go there like, well, I mean, Mr. President, you say you have nothing to hide. So I'm an idiot and I believe you. So why don't you talk to Mueller if you have nothing to hide? Well, if you had nothing to hide, that would actually be very good advice. The reason it's not good advice and the reason why he's so angry is because he has a lot to hide. But I hope he listens to you guys and takes you up on your offer to talk to Mueller. Hey, and Donnie, if you're listening, if for some reason they replay this on Fox and Friends, come on, you're a very smart person. You're like a smart person. You've said it over and over again. I bet you could outsmart Mueller. Aren't you smarter than him? You should take an IQ test with him. Better yet, testify in front of him and show him how smart you are. Can't wait. All right, we got to take a break here. When I come back, Carter Page, he might actually be the guy who unravels all of this, and we'll show you why. All right, back on the Young Turks. We've got a lot of news for you guys and a lot of tweets. Hashtag TYT Live. Control Left writes in, Fox News employees feeling shame. Must be a cold goddamn day in hell today. Matt Strackbine writing about the John Kelly story. Walking around with a made up version of history where no white people did anything all that bad is totally white privilege. Matthew Reed says, what is honorable about going to war to defend slavery? It's not, and if John Kelly disagrees, he's a disgusting human being. Brian Newton says, compromising the humanity of black people has been the American identity from day one. Fuck John Kelly. That's Brian saying that. All right, and back to the Feinstein story. Peter Halloween says, Senator Feinstein has been put on notice by the Justice Democrats. Indeed, she has. So as I explained in the beginning of the show, if you missed it, Thursday, beginning of the show at 6 p.m. Eastern, don't miss it. Just Democrats are going to announce a candidate against Dianne Feinstein. It is going to be a person who is thoroughly progressive. And there's no need to have a conservative senator like Dianne Feinstein as a senator from California. She's for warrantless wiretapping. She's for tax cuts for the rich. She's against Medicare for all. Did you know she's for the death penalty? Preposterous. We're going to defeat her. So don't miss Thursday's show. That's going to be amazing. In fact, we're going to have extra coverage for you guys. We're going to go 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, then 8 to 11, an extra coverage of the 2018 elections. It has begun. We're going to focus on that California race, and we're going to have a lot of news for you guys. By the way, another piece of news about Just Democrats will be on tomorrow's show. The group keeps getting larger and larger. I'll tell you all about that. It is super exciting. This is the actual fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. You'll see tomorrow on the Young Turks, and then for 5 straight hours on Thursday as well. So that's great. And by the way, I'm so worked up about all this, I forgot it's Halloween. Happy Halloween. All right, let's go to the next story. Okay. I've said from day one that Carter Page, I think, is a critical player in this Trump-Russia saga. Now, why do I say that? It's always based on publicly available information. So he was appointed to the Trump campaign, and almost everyone in Washington said, who? Who the hell is Carter Page? He was said to be advising Mr. Trump, according to the New York Times at the time, on energy policy and Russia. Well, no one in energy policy circles had ever heard of Carter Page. Well, it turns out that he had deep relationships with the Russian government and wanted to help them with oil contracts. Now, Rosneft, a giant oil company, had a $500 billion deal with ExxonMobil, which was blocked by the Russian sanctions. Now, Carter Page, along with all the Russians in the government, did not want those sanctions. They wanted those sanctions lifted so they could have that $500 billion deal. By the way, the revenue on that deal could be as high as $9 trillion. Not million, not billion, $9 trillion. So back then we had Politico and Yahoo reporting more about it. According to the Yahoo report, US intelligence believes Page had an audience with top Russian officials, including Rosneft head Igor Sechin, during a summer trip to Moscow. From what I could find about him, it's hard to imagine he could have secured those meetings without that mention by Trump. So he is the one guy that connects Russia and Trump and the oil deal. Now, this knucklehead is going to go on television last night on Chris Hayes' show and admit things he should not admit. I have no idea why he's doing this. Now, Manafort and Gates were just indicted. They surrendered to the authorities yesterday. And that was the campaign chairman, of course, for Trump. Manafort wasn't. Gates is his longtime associate for 30 years. Papadopoulos said he was trying to coordinate. He's another foreign policy advisor for Trump, another guy with no experience. He was on Trump's team and he was trying to coordinate with the Russians to get a meeting for Trump and to get their stolen emails from Russia. He's turned evidence. We already know that he pled guilty. Carter Page is in the middle of this mess and he decides to go on TV. It's a terrible idea, but wonderful for the rest of us. So let's watch.
You guys on email chains together, you and Papadopoulos.
Look, there's a lot of emails all over the place when you're in a campaign.
Right, but yes or no, like, were you in email chains with Papadopoulos?
Probably a few, yeah.
Were you in email chains with him about Russia?
It may have come up from time to time. Again, you know, there's nothing major. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember Papadopoulos emailing about this stuff?
There were tons of emails happening on a lot of different things.
So I definitely could have been anything.
I might have been, you know.
You might have been.
What are you doing? Are you nuts? You just admitted on national TV that yes, you were on email chains with Papadopoulos talking about Russian collusion. You just gave them reason to get a warrant to get all your emails. Well, you know, on the other hand, maybe we shouldn't be that surprised. Who's Donald Trump going to surround himself with? A bunch of morons who are his lackeys and yes men, who are willing to go and put themselves in legal and other dangers to make sure that they do these illicit deals with Russia. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised by how monumentally stupid that was, but he's not done. This, by the way, great job by Chris Hayes. Let's keep going.
Do you have legal representation?
I have some people that are helping me. My main lawsuit.
But you have an attorney.
I have some informal advisors and a formal advisor on the.
Bring an attorney to you when you spent 5 hours before Senate committee?
No, I'm very, very open and happy to give all the information that I can.
He doesn't have an attorney? Well, now we kind of see what's going on. I don't know if you know this. This is a really serious investigation. There's a potential for you to spend decades in prison, you knucklehead. I mean, I don't know what you gained out of that potentially corrupt deal with the Russians. I hope it was enough money to hire an attorney. If anyone in the country needs an attorney, it's Carter Page. I shouldn't be telling him that. God knows what he'd be willing to admit. Maybe we should get him on the Young Turks to just confess the whole damn thing. More confessions from Page here.
But so you and Papadopoulos, you probably were on email change together, right?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay. Those probably included discussions of Russia.
It may have come up, yeah.
You went to Russia, but you are confident that the footnote about sending a low-level staffer is not in reference to you.
I definitely did not represent anyone from the Trump campaign during that my trip.
But that's different.
I was busy working on more important things today. I haven't read the sort of fine print, but what was read to me, it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with me.
Were you on an email chain with Papadopoulos? Where they were discussing working with the Russians? Perhaps. But were they actually talking about the Russians? Yeah, they may have. If I was a judge, I'd be like, yep, warrant granted, immediately, go, seize everything he's got, go, 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 go. He just told you, yeah, I might have been part of the email chain where we're planning collusion with Russia. I was working on more important things. Really? There was something more important? So you're not quite sure? Look, if you're going to go on national television, at least have your story straight. Yes, I did the collusion. Knowing him, he might actually say that. Or if you're going to defend yourself on national television, you say, no, I didn't do it. Otherwise, why are you coming on? This is insanity. I love the ending here from Chris Hayes. Watch this.
You have cooperated with the FBI and you gave 5 hours of testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to a more open hearing with Congressman Himes and the rest of the House Intelligence Committee.
I genuinely hope, Carter, that you are innocent of everything.
Definitely.
You're doing a lot of talking.
Well, I'm hoping
it's either admirably bold or reckless, but I guess we'll find out.
I sure hope you're innocent. Otherwise, you've done a lot of talking, including on my program. That is hilarious. You know, maybe they didn't arrest Carter Page yet because they're like, just let him go on TV. God knows what he'll say. Let him go in front of the committees. He'll talk to us for 5 hours without a lawyer and give us everything we want anyway. Maybe they arrest him last. I don't know. We'll see. But a guy that stood between Trump and the Russians on the oil deal is clearly a person that is worthy of being investigated and has now admitted that yes, he might have been part of that email chain and the discussion of how to collude with the Russians. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Thank you, Carter Page. Okay, I'm out of time here, guys. So we have an amazing second hour for you guys. Chock full of incredible news. And so don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.